Oh, it's good to see you this morning. It's good to have time to share with you in the Word of God this morning. And we're going to continue in 1 Thessalonians today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Please stand with me in honor of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Father, we thank you again for this time and for your words. Lord, strengthen us in your hope. Strengthen us in your truth. And guide us, we pray, Lord, to be your people, a holy and righteous people, to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. I have been talking with you over the last few weeks about the rapture and about things concerning the rapture. And last week we looked at being left behind and the lie that is so perpetrated among the Christian faith today, that if we are to be left behind, all of a sudden we would recognize that God was real and that we had sinned and that He would allow us an opportunity to repent at that time. But the Scripture teaches us clearly that if we enter into that tribulation period, that period of being left behind, those that are left behind will be given a strong delusion by God so that they would continue to follow deception all the way unto their destruction. People will be saved, we talked about. People that have never heard the truth and the love of God through Jesus Christ. Israel will be awakened. 144,000 witnesses will go out in the world and proclaim the Savior that they have rejected even unto this day. God will begin to restore the nation of Israel because the church is gone. And He's going to revert back to His first love and try to bring home those that will come. People will hear those messages that the prophets give in those days, the 144,000. Those will be Jewish prophets and messengers. They will not be from any other nation. But the world will hear, and people will begin to believe those that have never heard, and some will be saved. But this morning, Paul is addressing something we as Christians need to hear and need to have right in our understanding. We talked some about the rapture when we first began this, and then we moved on, and here we are back again talking about the day of the Lord. Now, how many of you know that the day of the Lord is not necessarily spoken to us about one day in time, but it speaks to us about the wrath of God that will come in that tribulation, and then it will culminate and be finalized with the appearance of Jesus Christ. There's a lot that's going to happen. There are many signs and wonders and false miracles that are going to be given for those that are deceived. But listen to what Paul's writing to the Christians here again. Remember, they were upset because a lot of people in the early church were teaching that the tribulation they were in, they were already left behind. They were already suffering the day of God's wrath, the day of the Lord. They were already experiencing it. And their hope was diminished because they could not understand why God would abandon them to such cruelty. And Paul is trying to get their minds right and to get their hope in their hearts restored, to let them feel the joy of the salvation yet to come. And he says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. There is nothing that I need to tell you about it." Why? Why should Christians be worried about the times and the seasons? Because we're not going to be here for it. There are things that we need to look at in the nature and in the world to see that the day of the Lord is coming. But the Christian is not looking for the sign that it is here, because we will be coming with Him when He returns. That's where the rapture comes in. That's where we come in. Unless we have been left behind. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." I don't know if you've ever thought about it. How many of you have ever done a study on the day of the Lord? Anybody? You know that the term "the day of the Lord" is pronounced over and over and over in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the only time the day of the Lord is mentioned is in a passage like this, when Paul is trying to comfort the Christians about the tribulations that they face in this world, to help them understand it's not because they've been abandoned to God's wrath. That day hasn't come yet. And if we understand that the day of the Lord is the Old Testament prophets writing to the nation of Israel, then we ought to understand that Israel is going to be a focus in the day of the Lord when it comes. We are not going to be here. And for that reason, you have no reason that I should write concerning the times and the seasons. You have no need that I should write to you about these things. The rapture is new to the New Testament. How many of you have ever read about the rapture in the Old Testament? The Old Testament, the rapture. Yeah, nobody. We don't see the rapture in the Old Testament. But we see the day of the Lord over and over and over. But in the New Testament, the rapture becomes something revealed by God, something that's going to happen to us through Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." How many of you know the mystery? Amen. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Praise God. Now, when he says we shall not all sleep, he's talking about dying in this world. Because the body is asleep in the grave. And those of us that are walking around on the day of the rapture, we will not sleep. But we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be caught up with Him in the heavens, where we shall live forever and ever and eternity in His peace and grace. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Paul later on will say, we cannot precede those that have gone before us. He's talking about those that have fallen asleep in the body. But to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. We can't precede those who've already entered into His glory. But on that day, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed and meet with them and with the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. What a glorious day it will be. So why are you worried about the day of the Lord? Why are you worried about the wrath of God as if it was already upon you? Where is your hope in Jesus Christ? If you have forgotten it, I want you to hear these words and be rejuvenated. God has not abandoned His people. God will not abandon His people. And we shall enter into His grace and in His peace. It will come. How many of you know when? Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Not the Son, not the angels in heaven, but the Father Himself. But I can give you reason to have hope. When the day of the Lord comes, we will already be in His peace. Listen to how Paul begins to tell us this. Verse number 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Look what happened here in verse 2 and verse 3. For you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. You know it. You know it. You know when God comes, it will come as a thief in the night. He's not there, and then He is, and then He's gone, and He's taken what He's wanted, and nobody's going to know it until later. They're going to realize something has happened, and people are gone. And it's going to travel the world all the way around. You know, there's daylight on the other side of the world, or darkness, depending on where you're standing at this present time. So people are going to have the word travel. What's happened? What's happened? Then there'll be people waking up one morning and there'll be people gone. One beside them in the bed. One in the field. One will be gone. One will be taken. Now I do want to comfort you, because if there's two Christians standing side by side, guess what? There's going to be two taken. God wants us to understand it's going to be random. People aren't going to understand who's going except those who know Jesus. It will happen. He will come for us. But when it happens, you don't have any reason to be concerned. Listen to the transition here. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and destruction, or peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. You know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them. See, Paul has separated the people groups that he's talking. He's talking to you who know about them who are going to face it. There's a second reason why you should not be worried about the day of the Lord. No matter how ugly it gets, no matter how hard it gets, the day of the Lord will not come until the one who restrains is taken out of the way. We looked at that already, remember? And you ought to know this. It'll be them saying peace and safety, but for them will be destruction. I have no reason that I should write to you about the times and the seasons, brethren. It doesn't concern you. Your concern is living in the hope of Jesus Christ right now, in the righteousness and in the holiness that He prescribes us to live in. Which is a sad thing when we look at our Christian world today, isn't it? It so breaks my heart when people tell me that they're Christian and that it's okay to live in adultery. It so breaks my heart when people tell me it's okay to be a Christian and to live in homosexuality. It so breaks my heart when people say it's okay to be a Christian and to live in drunkenness. It so breaks my heart to hear people say that they are Christian and they fight God. Because Jesus Himself did not fight the Father. And Jesus Himself said that a servant is not greater than his master. So when Jesus comes, who's He coming for? The one that is greater than Him? Are the one who has taken their cross daily and followed Him. In truth, and righteousness and holiness. Standing up when the world says there is no God. You be proof that there is a God. He lives. You ask me how I know? Because He lives within my heart. And the day of the Lord will come with deception. It will come suddenly and it will come with destruction. It is inevitable and inescapable. It is inevitable and inescapable. You don't want to be there on that day. You have this day to get right with God, to say to Jesus Christ, I am a sinner and I need salvation. You have today to lay your heart at the foot of the cross. It's not a mind game. It's a heart game. It doesn't matter what you believe. Even the demons believe and tremble. But they will not be saved. It's a heart game. It's a heart game. Does He have your heart? Does He have your dedication? Does He have your commitment? Does He have you? It's a heart game. And if He has this of you, your heart, then you have no reason, brethren, that I should talk to you about the times and the seasons. For you'll not see that day. Whether you wake, whether you sleep, it doesn't matter. God will save you. God will keep you from His day of wrath. Paul says as he continues in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. You're dressed in all of this armor that God has given you. And on your head rests the helmet of hope because your heart belongs to Him. It is sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit resides within. I know I am His and He is mine. And I know that I shall live. And I shall see that day. And I shall sing His praise. And join the chorus of the angels and the multitudes when we bow down before Him. And we shall have peace. Verse number 9. Get this. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how Paul brings this all around full circle? But you, brethren, I have no need to write you about the times and the seasons. You're not going to need to know all of this. You're not going to be there. It'll be those over there who say peace and safety, and then destruction comes upon them. But for us, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He separates us from the calamity to come. Do you get that? People say that we will live in the tribulation. Man, that's a lot of anxiety to live with. And these people in this day and age in Thessalonica were living with the anxiety that they had been left behind. Paul is trying his best to comfort them. And still, even today, looking back, we have people that want the anxiety of being left behind. I don't want it. And I don't accept it because I'm saved. Are you saved? God has your heart. God's got a key for you when you get there. Then don't worry about the times or the seasons. Rest in the hope that is Jesus Christ. But be sober in this time that you have. How many of you could forget Jesus' teaching in the book of Matthew? And He says this, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." There's a very interesting point that is made in that parable that Jesus is teaching. And all of us who have read that and have studied that understand that when Jesus taught in parables, He was given an example of something that had a greater meaning and purpose for us. And He says the bridegroom was away and he was supposed to come for a specific day. The wedding feast was coming, but the bridegroom was delayed and they had all kinds of people lined up. Virgins were lined up. They had their clothing and their lamps, and some brought extra oil and some only brought the lamp that they had. And because the bridegroom was delayed, when he finally showed up and the announcement came through the hallways, those that had the extra oil jumped up. Those who didn't have any extra oil, guess what they did? They jumped up too. But they turned to the ones who had the extra oil and said, "Give us some of yours." But the wise virgin said, "No, you go and buy your own so that we all don't run out of oil." And so they left to go get their oil, and by the time they came back, the procession had already come and left. And so they ran as fast as they could to the master's house and knocked on the door. "Let us in! Let us in!" And the master opened the door and he saw these virgins that were supposed to be a part of the wedding feast. And he looked at them and he said, "I do not know you." And he shut the door. Let us be sober. Don't get left behind. You want another example of being left behind and what's going to happen to those that knew the Master was coming and were not ready? They will stand at the door and cry for acceptance, and the Master will look and say, "I do not know you," and shut the door. That's not going to be a pretty day for a lot of people. You can't depend on somebody else to supply your need. It doesn't matter who granddaddy or grandmama was. It doesn't matter who mama or daddy was. It only matters who you are. It only matters what you have done to be prepared. It only matters if you are prepared. The day is coming. The Master is coming. He has already told us to be ready. The invitation has been given. The call to be dressed in the righteousness and the holiness of God has been given. You know that He is coming. You know what is required. What will keep you from being called home on that day? Will it be me? Will it be that family member that you don't get along with? That person at work that just knows how to push the right buttons? Will it be that little devil standing on this shoulder over here saying, "Oh, don't worry about it till tomorrow"? You need to go ahead and do with that little devil like I did with my son's little devil. Give him a whooping. Give him a whooping. "I know I told you my son gave me that excuse. Son, why did you do this after I told you not to?" Talking with him, pleading with him. And I used to love to talk to him a lot more. You know, try to drag it out and make it painful, right? Anybody else ever done that? He never would answer me. "Why did you do it?" He never would answer me. Finally, he said, "Well, I guess my little devil made me do it." So I spanked him. And I said, "Next time your little devil shows up, you remind him you get a spanking and he doesn't. He better leave you alone." And if the little devil's sitting on your shoulder, you better get rid of him. Because you don't want to miss the day. You don't want to have reason for fear. and dread. You need to be ready because the Master is coming. The Master is coming. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. We're all, whether we have died in this life or are changed in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be with Him. So, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Are you saved today? Then let me give you comfort. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. No matter what comes, there's one coming who is greater. And He has saved me. And one day, I'll see and know it firsthand. I see it and know it now. But how could I possibly know what to expect until I get there? There is nothing on this side of heaven that can prepare us for the joy we're going to have when we get there. Amen. There's nothing. We don't even really know how to describe it. And though I don't know what it is, I can tell you how to lose it. Walk away from Jesus. Walk away thinking you have another day. Don't waste this time that you have. You don't know when He's coming. The day of the Lord is going to come after the rapture of the church. And if we don't know the day of the Lord, we certainly don't know the day of the rapture. But we know this. The rapture comes first. You even have less time than you might have thought to begin with. What's keeping you in the seat today? Pride? Vanity? You're just not sure? You better plead with Jesus to help you get it right. Time is fleeting. Sandra, would you come? We're going to sing like we always do. We're going to have this time for invitation. I invite you to come. While there is time, would you come?